We're not going to complain about the weather. Remember last night? But we're going to talk about it. Sure is cold out there. God's will be done. And we're going to talk about the Vikings. We're going to talk about the Packers, the Twins, the weather. Yes. But why are we not talking about Jesus? I have a theory. I'm not sure if it's accurate. My theory is that people don't like talking about the name of Jesus for the same reason people don't like guns in their house. Some people don't like guns, like, the guns are dangerous, they're powerful. Even if it's empty, even if there's no bullets for the 10 miles, just that gun is just so powerful. I don't want that thing around me. The name of Jesus is powerful. The name of Jesus causes demons to tremble and flee. The name of Jesus raises the dead and heals the sick. The name of Jesus contains Jesus himself. He is powerful. I mean, you'll hear some people will talk about God. Some people will talk about the Lord. But to use his name, you won't hear it except as a swear. Why don't we? And there's a fear. Some people say, well, you know what? I don't want to be that guy or that woman. You know, you can only go so far, and then all of a sudden you're a religious freak if you start saying, here's what Jesus did for me. Okay, so you're considered a freak. Great. Remember, the apostles considered themselves worthy to be flogged for the gospel. If someone thinks you're a little bit of a fanatic, whoop-de-doo. Maybe some of you think, well, I don't have a PhD in theology. Heck, maybe you can't even spell PhD. I don't know. Here's the deal. Here's a great story. You've heard this story before, but maybe in a different context. Jesus just heals this blind man, made him all better, right? And the Pharisees are trying to trap Jesus. And so they say, hey, blind guy, were you really blind? Yeah, that's why you just called me a blind guy, right? And they say, well, okay, well, that's not in the Bible. I just added that part. But here, this part is. Who healed you? That guy over there. Well, is he a sinner? I don't know. Well, how did he do it? Well, he touched my eyes. Is he a bad guy? I don't know. And the blind guy that was blind, he couldn't answer the questions. So the Pharisees said, and they went to the blind guy's mom and dad, his parents. They said, is that your son? Yes. Was he really born blind? Yes. Well, how did he get better? They said, well, he's old enough, talk to him. So the Pharisees put their hands up in the air, they go back to the blind guy, and they're harassing him. How did he heal you? What is he, a sinner? Is he a sinner? Is he bad? The blind guy finally said, look, if he's a sinner or not, I don't know. All I know is that I once was blind, but now I see, which is where we get the beautiful words to that song, Amazing Grace. That blind guy, he did not have a PhD in theology. He couldn't explain transubstantiation. He didn't know. He might not have memorized the books of the Torah. We don't know. Maybe he could. I don't know. All he knew was that Jesus touched his life and it changed his life forever. People could debate all day long. If people know you're Catholic, they're going to come up and say, hey, what about that priest scandal? Hey, what about you guys? Why do you guys worship saints? Hey, why do you guys have all this, like, graven images? Why do you call that guy a father? It says right here, call no one on earth your father. And people will, like, come up with all these things to argue about, right? And they kind of suck us into an argument. Most of the time, they don't care about those things. They just want to ask that very question, do you believe this stuff? And if you know the answer to some of those questions, great, you can answer them, but they're not really that interested. What they want to know is, why are you living this life? And our response is simply, look, here's what Jesus Christ has done for me. It's called your testimony, your witness, your story. We can argue theology all night long, but I can't argue with what God has done in your life. If you were to tell me that God saved your marriage when your marriage was on the brink of disaster, and you said, look, my husband and I, or my wife and I, we started praying and Jesus saved our marriage, I can't argue with that. No, he didn't. Yes, he did. People can't argue with your story. And so when you're trying to share with your brother, your sister, your neighbor, It's not about, well, let me tell you the precepts of the church. Let me tell you the Ten Commandments. That stuff doesn't work. Let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. I was just over at Shanley High School the last 2 days. I gave 6 talks to the juniors and some to the seniors. And my whole thing is, look, I can talk theology with you. I love theology, but that's not going to win over a high school junior. I share about, look, when I was in high school, I was looking for excitement. I started taking skydiving lessons and hang gliding lessons. I was looking for a thrill, but nothing has been as thrilling to me as when I decided to live my Catholic faith. And let me tell you how that happened. And you just share your story. All of us should be ready. In fact, our missionaries, we train the NET missionaries. We train them in 3 minutes. You better be ready to, in 3 minutes, tell someone what God has done for you. Now, granted, all of us have long stories, right? Like, if I were to say, tell me your story, it could take 2 hours. But when you're in Cub Foods or you're at Walmart, you don't have 2 hours. You might have 2 minutes with someone. So your homework assignment tonight is to practice. If I have 2 minutes with someone, what am I going to share? And they say, oh, you're Catholic? Why do you believe that stuff? Well, let me just share with what God has done for me. And we all have different stories. And I would caution not to make the story, like sometimes people think, I need a really good story. Like, you know, some people think, I was addicted to drugs or alcohol or gambling or this or that, and then God saved me. Now I have a really good story. Well, if that's your story, great, thank you, share it. Some of you, maybe you think, oh, I don't have a really good story. I grew up and I always loved God. I always went to church. Oh, I wish God could use me anyway. I don't have a good story. What are you talking about? Of course you do. If I just described you, then you can share your story that God saved you from a life of sex addiction, drug addiction, before you ever got into those sins. He prevented you from those things. What a story that is, especially in today's culture. That no matter who you are and what your experiences are, if God has touched your life, if you're sitting in a church 3 nights in a row, God clearly did something in your life, share that with people. And don't forget to use Jesus' name. Let me share what Jesus has done for me. Pope Paul VI, going back to step number one, he says, people are going to notice that you're different, and they're going to start asking you questions. You see, a lot of times Catholics like to quote this one saying. It's a famous saying. It's attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, although I hate to burst your bubble, no Franciscan scholar has ever said, here's where Francis said it, and here's the context of it. We don't even know if St. Francis ever said what I'm going to tell you he said. But we're just going to give him the credit, even if he never said it. There's a saying, and I'm guessing you heard it. You have to hold your arms out like this. It looks holier. Preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words, right? That's the saying. Pope or St. Francis apparently said, preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words. The Catholic Church's response is, it's always necessary to use words. Because otherwise, how are people going to know the reason you have joy? I've had people tell me, Dave, are you on drugs? You always seem so excited. Are you on drugs? No, it's the Holy Spirit. How are they going to know that you're happy, you're filled with joy because of Jesus? They'll come up with all sorts of other reasons. Oh, you're always happy because, well, you have a lot of money, or you have a nice cabin, or your son visits you every week. Or people are going to have all sorts of excuses for why you have the joy that you have. Now, if St. Francis really said that, he was referring to step one. Preach the gospel by the life that you live. That's step one. But you can't do step one if you're not ready to do step five and talk about Jesus in your life. You always have to be ready. And it's not in a preachy way. That's why I'm not going through, like, how do you start a conversation? How do you do this? It's not about techniques. It's not about manipulation. It's about simply saying, here's what Jesus has done for me. Let me share with you. And some of you have done that. Just last night, I just said, hey, what's your story? And someone just shared, and my faith grew. As I heard about how God worked in this person's marriage and in their family, despite tragedy, my own heart started swelling. And here I am. I do this stuff for a living. I talk about God for a living. Yet when someone just shares a little bit about what Jesus has done in their life, It's like, whoa, it builds me up. And that's what we're called to do, is to build one another up. I could go on, but I think I've talked enough. So let's end with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father, thank you that you not only call us to know you and to love you, but you call us to share your love with others. I pray that we will be good witnesses, that when people look at us, they're going to notice something's different, that they're going to notice the way we love one another. They're going to notice that we're not gossiping, we're not getting drunk, we're not doing things that the world says is normal, we're not binging on things, we're living lives of moderation. Help us to be women and men who pray. We know that the enemy is real and the enemy is powerful, but the enemy is not more powerful than you, Jesus. And as baptized Catholics, we have the power in us, your Holy Spirit. Jesus, you are in us. And so help us to tap into that power by being men and women who pray. Help us to have a new perspective that when we go to Walmart or the gas station or to the bingo parlor or to our hairdressers, help us to remember that we're missionaries, we're ambassadors. Help us to ask good questions and get conversations going. Help us to invite people into our lives. Keep our eyes open, Lord. Maybe to invite someone over for dinner or to bring a meal to someone or to care for someone. And finally, give us the courage to talk about you, Jesus, to use your name, not in a condescending way, but Lord, just to share what you've done in our life. Jesus, give us a boldness with charity. We pray this in your holy name, Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, thank you for bearing with me for 3 nights. It was fantastic to be with you. Thank you. Thank you.